Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Don Gossett. Don, 17 blind people get their sight back?
We've seen the Lord Chris Portis, his hand, do wonderful miracles all over India, all over Africa.
Wait, no. 17 blind people got their sight back?
Yes, by the grace of God. His wonderful work.
Did you catch that? 17 blind. Instant?
One after the other, right.
Now, that is what my Bible says is normal. Everything else, I think, is abnormal. Now, my friend Don Gossett has been in ministry 50 years, and he was privileged to be mentored by people, some of these names you've never heard of, others you have heard of, but they had secrets in which they understood how to reach into the invisible world to bring from the invisible world a manifestation into the natural world. And these secrets, many of them were lost. But Don Gossett is one of the few men alive today that was mentored by many of these people or knew them personally. And he knows a number of their secrets. But there was a time in your life, Don, in which you really did not believe miracles could happen. Oh, I'll take it back. You believed they would happen, but they certainly didn't happen under your ministry. Am I right?
Well, that's correct. You know, it was miracles from the Lord that came into my understanding that brought all my unsaved family to know the reality of Jesus Christ.
What if there was one point, Don, one point that was a turning point in you going from hoping to believing for miracles and seeing them happen, what was that turning
point?
Well,
I went to a meeting conducted by William Freeman in Portland, Oregon, and I saw the reality of miracles taking place, and I was so persuaded that if my very afflicted mother, who had been a semi-invalid for years, had been unsuccessful in surgeries, if I could get her to that meeting and she would open her heart to the Savior, Jesus Christ, she would discover the reality of the Lord's power to heal. And my mother and dad, because of the desperate situation in her body, willingly came with me to that meeting. And when they saw and heard the reality of people sharing what the Lord had done for them, they were convinced. They weren't skeptical any longer. And so they were willing to come back. I'm here. I was just 18 years old at that moment. And the Lord graciously stretched forth his hand to touch the life of my mother with a conviction that she could be healed. And when William Freeman laid hands upon her and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity, it left her body. I was like a young man, or a boy almost at Christmas time, eager to hear the result. And I met my mother coming down the aisle, and I said, how is it, Mom? She said, the pain is all gone. Tears were streaming down her face. My mother's healing was so pronounced that it became heaven's advertisement method to touch the heart of all my unsaved family. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a man who owned a tavern, a pool hall, a gambling hall, all in the same town. So my background was very diverse from Christianity or anything spiritual. And here suddenly my dad, seeing the reality of what the Lord had done for my very crippled mother.
Excuse me, Don. We have a commercial interruption right now. God wants to speak. God has just told me that people are being healed as Don is speaking even now. See, there is power in the testimony. And I can describe the condition. There are people who have a pain in their neck. If you'll move your head like this, you'll see that the pain is gone. And you'll also see that your back is healed. Those that have back pain, if you'll bend over, do that right now. I mean, you know, I can't see you, but God can see you and he loves you. If you'll just bend over, you'll see that that pain is gone. And you know, there is such a strong presence of God in the head, neck area. Any sinus congestion, any allergies, you are healed in Jesus' name. It is so strong, Don, right now in the backs. people are being healed, especially in the head areas right now. Now, Don, you saw this William Freeman. I've heard of him. I've never seen him. Tell me what you saw with your very eyes in a meeting with William Freeman.
Well, he was one who had heard from God. He'd been just a railroad engineer down in California. When he came to know the reality of the Lord, he became a pastor of a small church, and he had a pursuit in his life as unusual. When he retired, or resigned, I should say, from the railroad as a man in his mid-20s, he made an unusual vow. He said, "Lord, when I worked on the railroad, I worked 8 hours a day, and now that I'm no longer on the railroad but working in the church, I'm going to devote 8 hours a day to prayer." Now, that's an unusual vow, but that man set out to seek the face of God 8 hours a day, and it resulted in the mighty visitation of the Lord's presence with his life. Culminating in the fact that one evening he was in his church. It was just dark. There was no electric lights on. He was stretched out on a carpet in his office when suddenly the whole room illuminated. And in that light, a man appeared and said, "I am an angel of God sent by the Lord to give you a gift of healing. You can go and stretch forth your hand to bring healing to the people. If you can get them to only believe, not one thing will stand before you, not even cancer. There's a great sleeping and slumbering in the land. There must be an awakening because Jesus Christ is coming soon."
Wake up! If Jesus was coming soon then, how much more now?
Yes.
Wait till you hear and actually see some of these miracles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Our world is rife with comparisons about what separates us. Day after day, we go about our lives with tunnel vision. But Scripture tells us how Messiah broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, allowing for the creation of one new man, one new humanity. This spiritual completeness is set to usher in the greatest move toward God the world has ever known. Sid Robb has discovered Scripture's key to reaching the Jewish people with God's love. One new humanity opens the door for God to move in signs and wonders, and all will see the evidence of the invisible God promised in Scripture. Log on to SidRoth.org today and learn how one new man is the key to unlocking God's greatest blessings.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Don Gossett. And oh, what valuable information Don has. He was mentored by evangelists that walked in signs and wonders. Don, I have to ask you, we have some wonderful evangelists today. But when you look at Freeman and you look at Branham and you look at Coleman, I don't think we have a crop like that today.
Well, those people were very distinctly used by God. They had an assignment from the Lord. And the thing that was very distinctive about Freeman's ministry was that the Lord showed him the fact that he would know who was ready for a miracle and who was not. Hmm. Now, it worked in this wise. He would call forward those who were blind, deaf, crippled, those who had no sense of taste or sense of smell, those who had outward afflictions, and when people would see the reality of the miracle, that it was very convincing. And he would call, maybe there'd be a couple hundred at least come forward in that manner. And I would walk with him with those to see those people. One by one, he would get an inner witness if they were ready for a miracle then or not, or if he'd say, "You need to wait for another service." Well, he would usher to the platform about 25 people, and then he'd go to the platform. Those were blind, deaf, crippled, those who were had various outward afflictions. When they were healed, people would see and know. And he would one by one pray for them and then demonstrate the miracle. If they were blind, they received their sight. If they were deaf, they received their hearing. If they had a growth that was there in the body, the growth would go.
What would you say was the most dramatic one you saw as you were traveling with them?
A young boy, about 15 years old, that was helplessly a paraplegic. He was unable to handle his own body. And he came there just so pitifully afflicted. And when William Freeman prayed for him, he was instantly made whole. It was a transition from a crippled, helpless situation to wholeness in a moment's time. And this is why the crowds came, the thousands of people. In another vision God gave him, he showed him where he'd be going to auditoriums all over the world. And he would know about the Spirit before the crusade even began. Where these auditoriums, I'd go with him before the meeting would start. And he'd look up in the balconies, look on the main floor, thousands of empty seats. He'd say, Don, it'll be filled. This is one of the auditoriums God showed him. The perception the man had in the Holy Spirit was remarkable, not only to see the miracles, but to see the fact that the multitudes were coming. And the great motivation, of course, was the love of God expressed in the salvation of people without Christ. Without, he preached strictly a strong salvation message. And after one of these astounding miracles of a hopeless cripple raised up by God's power, he would then give a second invitation to invite people to receive the Lord. And thousands of people, I saw that happen again and again. I traveled with a man for 5 years. And every the great shrine auditoriums across America, his big tent that seated 10,000 people that was erected in cities everywhere, it was always the same. Why did the people come with the thousands? They came because they saw the reality of the Lord.
Now, question. If he had not prayed all of those hours, do you think he would have had the angelic visitation?
I question whether he would have. I think that God could trust him then, trust him with a supernatural ability to be used by the Lord to flow in that realm where the mighty miracles took place, and virtually every service was crowned with mighty miracles.
Now, did you ever have the privilege to pray with him?
Yes. One of the things he would do, he was such a man of prayer, he would, several times a day, would call me to his room, and he would maybe say, let's go to breakfast, or let's do something else. And when I'd tap on the door, he'd open the door and say, Don, before we go out, let's stop and pray 15 minutes. And that was an unforgettable experience I had. Here I was just a young man, 19 years old, when I began to travel with him. And we would just drop to our knees, and I call it the glory and the presence of God would fill the room in an awesome manner. And when we'd be driving across America to great meetings, we'd be driving along, I would thought, in a reverential attitude. But he'd say, Don, I got to stop and pray. And he'd stop.
Don, right now.
Yeah,
right now, the glory of God is here in the studio.
And he would stop and rent a hotel room for maybe 2 or 3 hours just devoted to deep, fervent prayer. It was a good use of God's money to rent a hotel room for prayer. And then he'd pay the bill and we'd drive on to our destination. Yes, prayer was very essential. I think that's enabling God to trust him with that supernatural working of the Spirit. Because not very many people, not very many ministers even, have had a single day where they were trusted by God to flow in a supernatural realm, such as William Freeman did in those years, and they were mighty workings of the Spirit of God.
I want them to see one of these great men that mentored you. You had occasion to meet Branham.
Right.
And he gave you a book that was very life-changing,
right,
you had told me about. But I want you to capture, I mean, I know about this guy, but I didn't meet him like Don Gossett did. I want to go into a Branham meeting and see what's going on. Let's roll it.
We were thinking about whether these visions, I would remember them very long. Some time ago, I had one, about 4 years ago, to be exact, of a little boy being dead on the side of the road, struck by a car and killed. And he was to be raised from the dead. Well, I told everybody about it, prophesied throughout the United States and Canada. Thousands of Bibles had it written on their flyleaf that this would take place. One day while we were having campaigns in the Scandinavian country, we were coming down through Finland from Kuopio, and there was a group of people gathered on the side of the road. They were hovered over some sort of a farm. We got out to look. There it was, the little boy. Everything, the scene, just the way it was shown to me. I said to Brother Moore, look at your Bible and see if this isn't the scene. Yes, he said. I knelt down and asked our Lord Jesus to confirm his word that he had showed me and had told me would come to pass. The little boy was brought to life again by our Lord Jesus. He's alive and healthy today. Brother Kopp, this is just a few of the things that our Lord Jesus is doing today.
You've had a great crash of some sort. It's
yes.
An accident.
Yes, yes.
And you,
yes.
It was a car wreck.
Yes.
And you were thrown in the air
yes.
like that.
Yes.
And it strained you in somewhere in your neck
yes.
and it's caused a cancer
yes.
to come into your neck. And you're some sort of a teach in the Scripture. And you yes. believe that Jesus Christ makes you well?
I do.
Father God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, on the authority of God's word by a dying woman, I ask this evil thing to leave her. Satan, you are exposed. So come out of the woman as the Church of the Living God calls for you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, sister, just a moment. I just want to talk to you. Of course, you know it's gone now.
Oh, yes.
It'll stay that way. See how your throat lifts?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the
it's
Lord.
It's all gone from her. The garter has left her throat. And she, God bless you. Go on your road now and be thankful. Happy.
All right. Excuse me, sister. I have to relax my mind once in a while. Now we are these strangers. I see that you are strictly a stranger to me.
Yes, sir.
You're from away from here.
Yes, sir.
You come from another city.
Yes, sir.
You've got a lot of trouble on your heart. You got heart trouble to begin with.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot of blackness. I see a black sheep keep following you like that. Oh, it's a lie. Somebody told a lie on you. And that was a man who was professing divine healing. He said you was a witch. Is that true? And you got a whole stir in your church or something or other about it. Isn't that right? Your pastor's sick right now. He's got polio. Is that right? Sister, don't pay no attention to what them people tell you. They're lying. And the only thing wrong with your heart is that nervous condition got your heart worked up. Go on home in peace and God bless you. You're all right.
Tell you something. If I could have any anointing of these old timers, that would be the one I would choose. We'll be right back, and you're going to find out about someone that had such a close relationship with the Holy Spirit that miracles broke out. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Don Gossett. Did you see those miracles by William Branham? Well, I never saw them in person beyond the video that you've seen in other videos. But Don, you had occasion to be in meetings and to meet William Branham. Tell me a Branham story.
He was brought to my office in 1960 in Tulsa. And to me, it was one of the greatest honors of my whole life to get to meet this man in person. It's like meeting Jesus almost, because I so esteemed his great ministry. And then he invited me to be on the platform every night during his Tulsa meetings that lasted some days and nights. And it was unforgettable to be right on the platform next to this man as he ministered.
How could God entrust a human with such knowledge? I mean, he knew people's names, their addresses, what was going on.
Like one night he pointed down the fifth row of the seventh seat. There's a man there that, would you stand, brother? You're a preacher, yes. You're an Assemblies of God pastor, yes, I am. He said, I see the whole thing now. 15 years ago, you were driving down a highway. You came to a four-way stop. You stopped and you were proceeding on, but here came a car from the other direction. It did not stop. And it crashed into your car and you were thrown out into the pavement. Is that right, brother? The man said, yes, that's right. He started weeping in the emotion of what was being revealed. And he said, you were in the hospital for a long time and God healed you tonight and raised you up now. You're healed. The man affirmed he's healed and he's back to give testimony. Well, miracles like that happened service after service with William Branham. He was continually getting, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit reveals the secrets of men's hearts. And he would invariably unfold the secret of people's lives, where they came from, what their background was.
Don, did you ever know of him missing it?
I never knew him to be mistaken even once.
And did you ever know of him praying for someone publicly and them not being healed?
I never knew it personally, and even more authoritative than myself was Gordon Lindsay and F.F. Bosworth, two good friends of mine who traveled with him approximately 5 years, and they both told me that they had never seen him be wrong even once. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was right, accurate, every time. And this happened in meeting after meeting, the way the Spirit of God would flow through him.
Was he a humble man?
A very humble man. Like one particular time, he said, people, I can do nothing until he comes. And he said, oh, dear Jesus, if I have been proud or arrogant, please forgive me. And then after that simple prayer of repentance before about 10,000 people, He said, he's here, people. And now I bring every spirit in this auditorium under my dominion in Jesus' name. And then it began to flow in this awesome gift where he was, the Lord was revealing to him the secrets of men's hearts and giving insights to understanding. And the way he flowed in the love of God, whenever anyone would come before him or on the platform that they were practicing sin, he would say, please turn my microphone off. I don't want to reveal this to the whole audience.
Don, when you said to me about his reverence for not doing anything until the Holy Spirit would show up, I'm reminded of someone else you work with, Catherine Coleman.
Yes.
Tell me about her.
Well, Catherine, my contact with her was in the conferences in Jerusalem in 1974 and 75, where she was the main speaker, and I was a coordinator of those great conferences. And Catherine, before she would go out to minister, she would pray passionately, oh, Holy Spirit, can you trust me just one more time? Holy Spirit, can you trust me just one more time? The way she was pleading with the Lord, you'd almost think she didn't know the Holy Spirit, but of course she did.
But you know what I believe? I believe she recognized she could do nothing without
right.
God.
And there was a time in her life for about 8 years when she walked in disobedience, as acknowledged in the book, Catherine Kuhlman, Daughter of Destiny, by Jamie Buckingham, where she shares the incidents in her life when she was grieving the Holy Spirit. And so she didn't want to do that again at all. So she depended upon the Holy Spirit if anything was going to happen. And she said, Holy Spirit, can you trust me just one more time? And then the Holy Spirit, when she had stepped out on the platform, would flow through her, giving her revelation knowledge all over the auditorium, what was happening, to whom it was happening. And she, again, was one of these persons that was a totally accurate, 100% correct, because the Holy Spirit is a Lord of great correction and great accuracy. And it was amazing to be a part of a Catherine Kuhlman service and to see the Spirit of God flow through her in such dynamic manner. And it was a powerful impact upon the hearts of thousands of people all over the world, this woman whom God could trust. When her prayer was, Holy Spirit, can you trust me just one more time? I think that's one of the greatest attitudes that people of this TV audience could have, said, is to say, Holy Spirit, can you trust me? Can I lay aside pride and selfishness and wrong motivation? Then you can trust me and you can flow through me in supernatural might and power. That was a vital key to these six people with whom God trusted me to work. I learned their keys was being able to be trusted by the Holy Spirit, and he could flow through them. It was amazing how God could work in those manners.
E.W. Kenyon.
Dr. Kenyon, of course, was before my time. I never knew him personally. He went to be with the Lord in March 1948. When he awakened that morning, his daughter Ruth told me he had been in relatively good health and feeling well. But here he said, Ruth, darling, you've been taking care of the work with me for these years. I'm going home today. And she said, you're going home? He said, yes, I'm going to be with the Lord today. And he said he wasn't sick or any reason to go, but said, surely enough, that afternoon he went to take a short nap and went into the presence of God forever. And his ministry, through the legacy of 16 powerful books, have continued to impact the lives of literally millions of people all over the world. And the ministry is still going on today, after more than 55 years of Dr. Kenyon leaving this life because of the revelation knowledge. I asked his daughter Ruth, how did your father have such insight to God's word that he's put forth in his book, like In His Presence, the Father and His Family, the wonderful name of Jesus, the new kind of love, and all these 16 books that have impacted the lives of so many? She said, oh, if you'd lived in my home, my father continued was in the word. The Bible was an open book all over my home.
And so, you know what? We're out of time right now, but I'm reminded of the prayer Catherine Coleman prayed. Would you pray that right now? Holy Spirit, can you trust me one more time? I'm praying that from my heart. Would you pray that? Would you start acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is all around you and in you, and the same Spirit that rose Messiah Jesus from the dead gives life to your mortal flesh. That's the life of God. And you're being healed with the life of God because that's God's word. Let every man be a liar, but God's word is true. You are being healed in Jesus' name. Touch your body and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
An unprecedented supernatural door has opened. Large numbers of Jewish people are suddenly accepting Jesus as their Messiah and Lord like never before. As Sid Roth conducts evangelistic meetings for Jewish people in North America, They Thought for Themselves is a supernatural book that God gave Sid Roth in a dream. It is written from a Jewish perspective with 10 Jewish people telling their own stories to other Jewish people. The book relates to them and penetrates them in a way nothing else can. Now, God has directed Sid Roth to bring this gospel message to 2 million Jewish people in America while this supernatural door remains open.
Please call the number on the screen right now and say, "Yes, Sid, I will join Project 77, adopting 7 Jewish people right now to lead them to Messiah." Most unsaved Jewish people don't have a believing family praying for them to come to know Jesus as their Messiah. When you call, you are saying, "I will pray for their salvation, and I'm providing each of them a copy of They Thought for Themselves." Your gift of just $77 will provide this powerful book to 7 Jewish people, and we will send you the names of your 7 Jewish families so you can hold them up in prayer.
In addition, we want to send you this beautiful keychain, a replica of the high priest's breastplate, which includes 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Just as the high priest would be reminded by his breastplate to intercede for Israel, the Jewish people, we pray that your keychain will remind you to hold up your 7 Jewish names in prayer every time you use your keys. Plus, when you call, you'll also receive your very own copy of the book, They Thought for Themselves. This book will stir your faith to believe God for your own family's salvation.
You may feel that God is directing you now to reach 77 Jewish households by giving $777. $777 to reach 77 Jewish households is like bringing the gospel to an entire Jewish neighborhood. In Genesis 12:3, God promises to bless those who bless the Jewish people. What blessing do you need? Family, salvation, health, more glory, finances? The heart of God at this moment is Jewish souls. Catch God's heart and watch His favor increase in your life.
Every day, Jewish people in America pass into eternity without ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. We must move while this supernatural door remains open.
And just as the door has opened supernaturally, it will close just as suddenly. Please call right now.
Call now with your $77 gift or your $777 gift and watch God extend His favor and blessings over your life. Call or give your gift on the web or send your check to It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278, offer number P77, or log on to sidroth.org/P77. Call or write today.